All right, we can get started.
Let's have a minute of prayer. Heavenly Father, you said give credit to what you do. We will lift up Joel online in his department. God, the great work they're doing helping our citizens. And be with our commissioners and the judge this week as they do town hall meetings. And just bless him, God. And we just thank you for always meeting us where we're at in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one indivisible.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out. We'll get this thing started, and the first item is number one, discussion and possible action regarding items related to natural disaster Imelda. So I know we got several things, so we'll get kind of started with that.
Judge, commissioners, a few things this morning. Currently we have the DRC set up, which is set up Sunday. I had a soft opening Sunday afternoon that wasn't advertised. I think they got a few during that. They've so far seen about 30 people. The BRC, the Business Recovery Center, is also set up out at the Expo Center. It just actually opened up yesterday, and I think, or actually this morning, I'm sorry. Today was their first time. And as of this morning, they had only seen one. Red Cross is also located out there. They have so far seen or processed through about 185 people. They'll continue, Red Cross will continue to be located at the ballroom in the Expo Center until next, for this coming Sunday. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., except for Thursday this week. They, because of scheduling conflict, they're going to change the hours from 8 to 9. The DRC will be open. They're planning at least on a two-month stint this time from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week, and the BRC will be open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, regular business hours. As far as debris goes, as of this morning, Road and Bridge, Park got the numbers for me this morning, have made 94 loads totaling about 752 cubic yards.
Wow.
TxDOT has their crew started yesterday at 1 p.m. They've so far collected about 1,400 cubic yards. They have those big
truck.
Hauler trucks. Mm. Something for the court that the court's going to have to consider in the future, in the near future, is if we don't get the presidential declaration, how we want to handle the rest of that debris mission. TxDOT is out there picking that up. They have their own monitor, and they're going to be reimbursed through the Federal Highway Department. But all they're going to do is pick it up and place it at the old county landfill. Mm-hmm. So we as a county will be responsible for reducing that waste and getting it to its final destination spot, which would be Waste Management. Also in that, we'll have some of the white goods. We don't know how many of those we're going to end up with, but refrigerators and that sort of thing will have to be, Freon will have to be taken out of them, and any of the waste in them will have to be they'll have to be decontaminated with a hazmat. So the court will have to think, do we want to pull that trigger on Ash Brett to do that, or try to handle that individually? When I say individually, I mean with individual contracts here locally.
Can I ask something?
Yes, sir.
So if we end up having to do this, is that a process we can bid to move this?
I would assume we would have to do it that way, Connie, if we don't pull the trigger.
Ashbrook's already in-house. I mean, they're already in place.
Right.
So if we choose to go with them, then we don't have to recontract. If we go to the separate individual contracts, then yes, we would have to bid that.
Yeah. Okay.
And while on that subject, the only action item I have is we spoke with Waste Management and got an agreement with them to be the final destination spot. Mm-hmm. And the action item, the discussion and possible action on approving the agreement with Waste Management for the final disposal of the flood-related debris collected and stored at the old county landfill. and approve the county judge to sign the same. I meant to get you guys a copy of it on the court, but I got that. We just got the agreement yesterday. And I, basically what it is, it's $8.44 cubic yard for disposal, which is a little bit higher than it was during Harvey, but a little bit later.
Yeah.
And that is the non-compacted CMD. So if we reduce that waste while we still have possession of it and then ship it to them, they'll adjust that price then.
Okay.
All right.
Is that something that Denise needs to look at since we just got that in-house and put that on for the for agenda next week to approve? Or can we approve pending her? Can we approve today to pending her looking at it? Pending, if we
I think you guys can approve the agreement in substance and authorize county judge to sign pending legal approval.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
I have the same question on that. Is that a biddable thing, or is that something we pre-bid? Is there other places that would be that could be taken to?
You know, there's only two that I know of, and one's in Beaumont, and the waste management one in Newton County.
I mean, I don't know. That's
who we've used in the past, so that's who we
correct.
I would think with their proximity,
they're closer than the one in Beaumont, and that's part of the cost, but it has to be the shortest distance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
For reimbursement with FEMA, but we don't know.
If we don't know if we're going to get reimbursed.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we would want to get, Denise's point, we can approve county judge or judge pro tem to sign pending your approval of the contract.
Yes.
Okay. So we would need an action item on that.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
Motion by 3, seconded by 2, to approve a contract for waste management pending the approval of county attorney for the judge or judge pro tem to sign. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Right, any other? I was going to tell you, I talked to Chester Jordan with Red Cross. He said he was going to have those flyers with the new hours. He would give them to you this afternoon because I think you're going to that meeting tonight, and so we would be able to hand those out, invite her, and we'll have them for the next meetings as well. So that people, okay, I didn't know if he had talked to you about it. Okay, perfect.
Also, I wish I had a report as far as the PA. I did talk to Carmen Apple, our district coordinator. She was going to text me if she got something prior to, but so far,
no.
Yes, I've got sent a message to Chief Kidd this morning also, and I have not got a response, and I'm assuming that's why also. It's because they haven't got a response yet.
Mm.
We're going to keep pushing, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Really. Judge, Commissioners, gave y'all some paperwork on two buildings located in Meyer off of Claiborne Street. That was affected during the tropical storm Imelda. And we did get some insurance money on these two structures that y'all have paperwork on. And the one building is the old transportation building, the metal building. That building's already been gutted from Harvey. The insurance company gave us some money to clean the inside. Before Jesus, we'll go ahead and have that taken care of, clean the inside out. The other paperwork from the insurance is on the Vider Community Center. As far as right now, the Community Center is ready for elections. That's coming up in October the 21st, I believe, and run until November 5th. The building has been, sheetrock's been cut 24 inches up all the way around inside the building. We just left some sheetrock around the restroom for privacy. We cleaned up everything. We tore out the cabinets in the kitchen and everything. So we're good as far as on the drying, making sure there's no organic matters growing anywhere inside the building. So we're good on that. Everything looks good. We've mopped all the floors. We put all the tables and chairs back where they're supposed to be. My suggestion to the court is that we go ahead and move forward with the general contractor for the repairs after the election, and that will be up to y'all to decide whether or not y'all want to move forward with that.
Okay, so that'd be the first
that
item.
For the community center on Claiborne Street, Lauder.
Okay. And the reason is so me and Carter talked about this, and what we're trying to do is because it's, you know, this was definitely not something we saw in the plan, you know, early on to have to do this, and so it's taking him away from normal activities that he needs to do, and we want him to be able to continue to do that. So instead of us building this in-house, since we did get insurance money, they've done a majority of the work already, is that we would use the insurance money we have to complete the building after, let it go out to the general contractor bid, and then that way that gets completed that way, and his group or team is not having to reconstruct this building. They can get back to normal maintenance activities, and so that's kind of why. So we have the money to cover it. We just need to, if that's what the court wants to do, before we move forward. So that, but that would not take place till after the elections and stuff. But we could start the bid process now, right?
That's correct, sir.
Okay.
And they'll give you more time to work on my office.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Go ahead.
They'll give you more time to work on my office.
We're working on the paperwork for that.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we're getting you in place.
Yes, ma'am. That would be up to the court on the, for getting a general contractor. That would be like on by board, and they would give us a quote on how much it costs to repair it, and it'd be brought to the commissioner's court for approval, and we'd move forward. But that would be after November 5th. Okay.
So that is an action item that we could take as far as moving forward with that particular building, the first one first, if the court so chooses.
So this is the first one?
This is the Raymond Good build, the Raymond Good.
Kirk, this is the old Precinct 3?
Yes, sir. That one that one probably be discussed at the three-minute session.
So you're wanting a motion to move forward with a contract?
With general contractor.
With a general contractor.
To go out for bid.
To get the bid.
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
So we have a motion by 4, seconded by 3, to go out for general contractor on the Raymond Gould building to use the insurance money to rebuild after the election cycle is over, to get that building rebuilt. So I have a motion by 4, a second by 3. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. So that's that one. I'm going to go back and talk about this one, Kirk.
Yes.
Just kind of give us an update on
this
Wick building.
Used to be the old Wick building, right by Precinct 4 barn. The building, I wouldn't say that it actually flooded, but it retained water from maybe weight from going to the sand pile to get sand. The water did get on the carpet inside the building. So therefore, it was damaged through the tropical storm. My question to the court is, what would y'all prefer me do with the building? The building does not have any insurance on it. To try to save the interior, my suggestion would be for us to go inside and gut the inside of the building. That way it doesn't destroy the whole building. We do have dehumidifiers and fans inside there right now, and the heater on, trying to keep it dried out where it doesn't get bad or anything inside the building.
And so, in this building is about 900 square feet?
Yes, sir. It's almost 1,000 square feet.
Yeah. And we could potentially, again, it's kind of after having discussion with Kurt about use of our facilities, and that we could use this building once they took the walls out, the structure, took the carpet out, leave it as a concrete floor, we could use this building potentially for an election site, a more permanent election site, so it doesn't interfere. Sometimes with Raymond Gould, we interfere with activities that are taking place there. We'd have to get with Tina. Of course, he was big enough, but we could still use the building for other activities if we stripped it out. It's not going to be used for a WIC building. We have a different plan.
That's terrible.
I did talk to Tina about the building, and she said she was going to be looking at the facility Thursday when she goes to set up the voting machines and invite her.
Yeah.
But the building would be, we've got the walls out, and it would have ADA bathroom inside there. It already has one in there. But it has three restrooms in that building. It's got some office in there. We just got all the walls out. We'd still set up a secure area for Tina's equipment or whatever she wants to store inside there. But the rest of the building would be open for tables for people to vote and all that. And it would never be – Tina would always have a building inside by her to use for elections and wouldn't have to worry about Sabrina's schedule for the community center.
Robert, how do you feel about this building?
It's a thought, Commissioner. That's all it was.
Yeah.
I want to know how you feel about this.
Yeah, it's something that
because it's in vital.
Well, it's the first I've heard about it, so I hadn't had.
Well, I was I was thinking out loud, and I told Doug about it, and I didn't want the building to go to waste. I know the building was built in 1970, but the structure of the framing of the building is in great shape. Yes, it will have to be cleaned. It has to do some painting on it, but all in all, the county doesn't have to build the building. Yeah. It's already built.
And just so I say, but our thinking on it is if we take the carpet out, strip the walls out, then we can use the facility for something. The election just happened to be one of the things we thought of.
I wouldn't
go back and put carpet because we know it does have potential now to flood, and it's in that flood zone, so we wouldn't use it for that. But, I mean, we may end up using it for storage, but we did get some money that we can use to do some of the updates on it.
On the metal building.
Yeah, so that we can use that, and we'll have that money left over to be able to do and get some kind of use out of a building that's right now just sitting vacant. So, just a thought.
Yeah, we're not taking action today on that.
Well, we can, if far as we want to let him start gutting it out and getting the carpet out.
The court chooses me to go ahead and preserve the building by gutting it.
I think we'll probably find a use for the building.
Yes.
No matter what the
whether it's elections
is.
Or not.
Right.
Okay.
So but having carpet would
I
not
I think we need
it.
To preserve the building.
No, I agree with that. I mean, and then we can spend a little more time to make a better decision on what we want to do going forward.
I'm going to go, I guess, to go ahead and authorize the maintenance department to move forward on gutting the building and getting it secure.
I'll second.
Okay. So a motion by one and a second by two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. All right, and on the other building that you have the picture of, that's the Bridge City Old Precinct 3 building. We can't discuss that at this time because it's not an Imelda disaster. He will discuss that in the 3 minutes during public comment and bring us up to date on that one. We can't talk about it during this one because this is Imelda action.
That's it.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else have Imelda updates? I will say that, you know, I know it's been talked about a lot. We're definitely trying our best to get this this debris stuff started. We have a good start on it with our local folks, thanks to our road and bridge guys. You know, it's just small trucks we're dealing with. And then, now that TxDOT's in place, and like I said, they've got those big trucks, we hopefully that'll move a lot faster. But I know myself and Mr. Ardwain, we are definitely calling the state on a regular basis to push to get the public assistance declared if we can get it done. If it doesn't happen, it won't be because we didn't try to get it done. It's going to be because the president didn't want to sign it or didn't sign it or whatever. But everybody else is on board with getting it done so we can, you know.
If TxDOT making those pickups, they're allowed to go down like additions instead of these kinds of highways?
And, yes, we signed a contract with them. We requested for them 2-3 weeks ago now. We signed a contract with them to go into – they'll go into county roads – off of the main roads. They will not go into the city.
But
the city of Vider.
Actually,
they'll go into the neighborhoods. Yeah.
Actually, they're in the city of Vider too.
And the city of Vider
has their own contract.
Requested theirs, and they have TxDOT also, but that's a separate contract from ours.
Well, there's two houses in my neighborhood at the very end that got debris on the sidewalk. How do we make sure that gets picked up on TxDOT?
Well, that should have been on the survey. I mean, we'll make sure that they have that. And there's going to be these one-offs that we're not going to know about that we're going to have to call in and let them know. Because, you know, their focus right now is in the neighborhoods that are primarily affected the largest. And then they'll start moving out from that. But we'll make sure that gets on those lists as those one-offs come up. But, yes, they'll go and they'll do those, but they're doing a one pass. And so one of the issues that we already had is a neighborhood that we picked up with our county vehicles is there was some debris up in the yard. It'll pick that up. Well, since then, we're not in that neighborhood now. People figured it out, and they moved their stuff out to there. So that's going to be a return trip for our county guys to go do that. But, you know, if you see people and you got to let them know, and if our media would certainly help us with that, it needs to be on the roadways because we do not have the private access at this point to go into the private properties. So
and
being out on the road is very important.
We are going to have to go back after TxDOT.
There's going
to
be
we're going to have to go back.
We did that after Harvey, and I'm sure they did that before that. But
and I see what Mr. LeBlanc is talking about because I have some neighborhoods like out in Mac Lewis that the front of it, but you go back to the back and there's 2 or 3 houses, and I mean it is piled high. And I've been concerned about how would we know, but we do have track of that.
That's right. And I will tell you that survey that we did at the beginning for the individual assistance was extremely helpful, has still been extremely helpful, even to TxDOT, for having a direct place that they know to go without having to just go around and look on their own. They had places they could start going look. And even though you may not have called in, but your neighbor did, or vice versa. So they, when they get there, if they see it, even though it's not on their list, they're still going to pick it up. You know, if it's out there, they're going to get it. It's the main thing is just a one pass with TxDOT. So
I'm trying to catch them when they're there and go talk to them, make sure that they get on that list somehow.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Not in the road, or in the road. So where does that mean? Does that mean on the roadside of the ditch? Or?
Yes, sir. On the roadside of the ditch.
If there's one.
Yeah, because it's...
Some of these right-of-ways are pretty tight.
Yeah, they're pretty tight.
Some of them are tight.
You know, and they have a little leeway, but it can't be up in your front yard by your front door. And that's the situation we had last week. It's got to be out at the road.
I think typically if they can reach it from where they're set up.
If they can reach it with the equipment, they'll get it. And one of the things that, you know, that we know that there's going to be
like
those...
10-foot reach or 12-foot
reach? Depends on which tractor it is. Ours are a little bit lower than theirs. They have a pretty good reach on theirs. But you know, it's the pass, and if they see that issue out there, I know that I was in a neighborhood yesterday afternoon that TxDOT was doing, and there was, I guess it was one of the neighbors, he had a tractor, which I did in my neighborhood in Harvey. I was pushing, you know, people's stuff out of the tractor so they could get to it, so that they had, so their reach would make it, and there was somebody in that neighborhood, and I looked like just one of the people that live there. And it was, because I knew it wasn't part of the TxDOT group, because all their stuff was marked. But
they don't want anything in ditches.
Well, we try not to have it. Sometimes it's going to be very tight, you know. And one of the things that we're seeing, and I know I saw it when I was with Robert last week, Commissioner Viator in Vider, is these neighborhoods where the neighborhoods really got hit hard. You know, it's tunnel vision right now on these roads, mm-hmm. because people are stacking on both sides, so it's a one-pass lane. And that's where we're really asking them to focus first, to take care of those safety issues. But in those neighborhoods, it's because that whole neighborhood was hit. So, all right. If there's not anything else on that, then we'll go to item number 2, discussion and possible action regarding Orange Lions Club pecan tree planting program. Orange Lions Club contacted me. This was several weeks ago, and then, of course, the storm hit, and so we kind of pushed it back. But they have a potential tree program that they're doing through this group to plant pecan trees within Orange County in different areas. They reached out to us. I've talked to Sabrina. The best location for us was out in the Claiborne Park to potentially have those. We, you know, basically more or less on y'all's deal, would suggested 10 to 12 trees through them. They'll actually take that information if they get enough trees, and their board will decide to do this or not do this, but it costs. There's no cost to the county. They'll come plant them. They'll put them up. They'll do the whole thing, and we get the trees for free. And we just thought it was a good program, but I just really wanted the court to have to weigh in on this before we approved yes or no. I mean, personally, I can't see a bad in this at all. I know that people, if you were around during Hurricane Rita, and a lot of us were, not all of us, we lost a ton of trees in this county, mm-hmm. And then through the storm since. But I just think it's a good program, and there's no cost to the county. So,
well, I'm just going to interject this. It is the state tree of Texas. And I just think one needs to be someplace. And I rode around before court today looking at some places, and I think we could use one here at the courthouse somewhere.
Yeah, they have some stipulations that they have to be within 25 feet. They can't be closer than 25 feet to a building, 25 feet to a sidewalk, 25 feet to an electrical line.
That's because of the roots.
And that's where we ran into when I walked out there on the property in front. Uh-huh. I just couldn't find an opening without taking something
out. That's what I was kind of
Could potentially do it. Now, I will say this. Once they approve whether they're going to move forward with this, and it looks like they are also, but once they approve to do it, he said there's nothing that says that if we decide we have another area for a tree or two that we've come up with since, that we couldn't get it. It's just they got to get that base number that says, okay, it's worthwhile for us to move forward. And I think it's 250 trees throughout. And so,
wonderful.
And I want to take a closer look at bluebirds. I know we got some electric line issues out there, but I do want to take a closer look at bluebirds and see if we can fit one or two out there.
Okay. And like I said, so it is an action item because I'd like approval by the court to move forward with this.
So moved.
So just second.
All right, so I have a motion by one, a second by two to approve the tree planting program through the Orange Lions Club. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. And if you know any of the folks from the Lions Club, John Backer is the one that approached us with this, but there's a lot of those good folks with that. And then if you see them, thank them. It's a great opportunity for us to be able to get some of these trees back in place. So if you know a few of those, I know we all know.
Thank y'all.
Yeah, Joel, Sheriff. any of the Lions Club guys. They're all helping us out. So thank you. All right, item three, discussion and possible action allowing county judge or judge pro tem to sign the right of entry for survey and exploration for the Department of the Army Corps of Engineers. And I have that on there. So what this is, our attorney did look at the forms, and what this is the, if you're familiar with the what we call the Coastal Spine Project, the levee project, it's under a million names at this point, but they're going through currently right now, I think there's 270 some odd property owners in Orange County that this thing could potentially touch, and right now they're currently doing right-of-way entry to go on these properties, do soil sample surveys and measurements and all that kind of stuff. And we have some county properties, a whole handful of them here, that's also going to touch. And so we have to approve for them to go on our county properties as well to do that same survey and soil samples and all those kind of things. And so the Corps of Engineers is currently doing this right now, and they're in Orange County. And so we've got the request to do ours. And again, our attorney has looked at it and approved the paperwork so that we're good on the approval if the court so chooses.
Make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion by three, second by one. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
What was that agreement? 40 pages, I think?
Yes. Yeah, it's a pretty hefty little work.
I figured Denise could tell us how many pages.
typical core.
That's it. In case they strike, that's exactly right. All right, item number four, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings, and also specifically as follows. Item A, $91,472.70 to the Texas Association of Counties Health and Employees Benefits Pool from the General Fund 001-101-51270 for group medical, dental, life, and retiree insurance under the age of 65 years of age for October 2019. And
also for approval, October 15, 2019, from the General Fund, $383,667.77. Road and Bridge, $2,331.77. Mosquito Controls, $1,373.27. Adult Probation, $3,123.97. Airport, $2,026.44. Consolidated Accounts, $41,886.47. For a total payment of $434,289.62.
I'm moving to go ahead and pay the bills as listed by the auditor.
A motion by one.
Second.
Second by three. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item five, discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer from 034-610-57590, equipment greater than $5,000, $4,500, to 034-610-57596, equipment between $2,000 and $4,999, of $4,500. And purpose is just to move the funds into the correct account. And that was a Missy Pillsbury, but that was just a movement of the funds from the right to the right account from another account. Still within the budgetary dollars, just so on line up. Motion 101, second by four. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Yeah.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Item number six, discussion and possible action regarding reinstating ag agent position for agriculture and natural resources. Ms. Foster from our county AgriLife coordinator.
I'm going to introduce our district administrator, Mr. Eric Zimmerman. I'm going to have him come up here with me as well.
No, she'll be glad to let you.
But yes, if we could please reinstate the ag position, mm-hmm. Ag and natural resources position back to the office so that we are able to complete our staffing in our office.
No.
You want me to kind of explain?
You can, or I can, or Mr. Zimmerman can, but we'll definitely if there's any issues, okay? And so
I'm kind of
yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Back when Heston Henry was our previous county extension agent for Ag and Natural Resources, mm-hmm. Heston left his position to pursue another option up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and
do the process of identifying a new candidate to fill that process or to fill that position, the first step for me is to, one, get approval from our administration on campus at Texas A&M, but secondly is to request confirmation of funding for that position at the county level. And that was at that point in time when Judge Crooks was in office, and I'd sent him a memo requesting confirmation of funding, and he did in fact indicate that the funding was still there. And so we went through the process of finding an individual that was suitable, or a pool of candidates. And in that interim, Judge Crooks left, and Judge Yate assumed the role. And this was on my part, too, is I didn't even think about checking with Judge Gauthier concerning the position of continuing to be funded.
Yeah.
And so...
So that's how it got left out of our budget.
It was taken out of our budget.
We went through the process of identifying, opening applications up. And we opened them up internally first to see if there's a current agent within the agency in all one of the 254 counties in the state that is essentially to come to Orange as a relocation. We didn't get any internal applicants, and a lot of times we don't see a lot of movement right now within the agency. So we opened it externally, and we received approximately 30 individuals that applied for the position. And so we went through identifying our finalists, conducted the interviews, and was in the process of making an offer when Fallon called me and says, tap the brakes. I don't know if it's funded. And so that's when we went through the process.
Is A&M going to help fund this?
Absolutely.
They pay a portion of it.
How much of a portion?
Just in the same thing as in all the positions throughout the state with AgriLife Extension, a portion of the funding comes from the county. A portion of the funding comes from the state of Texas and state legislature. In addition to USDA funding, the Farm Bill, and things of that nature.
Okay. So we will get some money.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, a portion. And the nice thing about this, and this goes into action item number 7, too, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but a portion of the county extension agent's salary is funded. Obviously, the county offers an office and support staff and utilities and phones, but AgriLife Extension picks up retirement and all the benefits, versus the county not having to do that. And so if they're county-based 100% employees like the support staff with Kim, their benefits are picked up through Orange County, whereas our AgriLife agents are not. So that's kind of the difference there.
Okay, and so when Mr. Zimmerman contacted me about it after Fallon talked about it, which was like I think the second day of the storm, when we had that discussion, so
and
we kind of, yes I do, and so we at that time asked them to give us a little bit of time to work through the stuff, because we did not in fact position in our budget for this, and spoke to Mr. Zimmerman. We went back, and he actually sent me the email conversation between Judge Crooks and himself, which we did not have in our records to be able to have that, so we didn't know the position was even still being considered. We thought it had been removed.
That's right.
And it is in fact was a discussion between him and Judge Crooks about maintaining the position. The position would be funded within the next budget, and all that. If anybody needs to see those records, we do have them. He had them, thankfully. And so that's why I put it back on the agenda to look at doing this. We can, in fact, we would have to make this as a contingency move, which you'll see on the next line item. We have to pull the money out of contingency to fund it for this year, and then next year's budget we would actually place it as a position back in the county. Without redoing the entire budget, which none of us want to do, this is the only way that we can handle this for now, and put that in there to cover that funding.
But we're still going to get, like, the contingency is $41,085, but we're still going to get some help from A&M and the state and all that, so it really won't be that much.
No, it'll be this much.
That's our portion.
It'll be this much.
This is our portion of what that person will make. And stuff. So,
and to the question, and this is the only thing we had that arose when we were taking a look at this, is one of those
the retirement portion
for retirement of 5240
is not necessary.
And I don't think that's necessary, because I know
that's
Fallon, and going back in the records for any of the agent positions, I don't believe Orange County contributes to the retirement within the AgriLife agents. It's they're under the teacher's retirement system under Texas University and Texas University system.
So that the amount from the contingency would be that $5,244 less.
And
so if somebody has a calculator mind,
Johnny does.
That public math that Miss Ardwain always talks about.
The only other thing, there was a travel allotment for that position, and it's not indicated in here for 3881. It was for in-county travel for those individual positions, and that was not.
So they get like a gas stipend or something?
It's a mileage stipend, I believe.
Well, we don't do what we did decide to do.
In Allen County, they have the motor pool.
Yeah, and what we did decide to do this year was we're not doing a stipend on them anymore. Okay. They have to turn in their mileage for actual use. We didn't set aside an account. We did that for several of them that we don't. They actually have to turn it in for mileage. We don't set aside an amount of money.
What was that, Johnny?
$35,841.
So the new amount would be $35,841. Mm-hmm. Out of contingency. And that's the next line item, so we'll get to that. But right now, this is we have to decide whether we want to even, well, we want to, as a court, do the position.
It's going to be kind of hard to do the position if we don't have the money.
That's right.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's kind of apple, you know, the chicken or the egg. So.
Yeah. And y'all laugh when I ask my question.
You're gonna ask another one?
I'm going to ask that question again.
Okay.
But I did ask the question during budget.
You did. And we were all under the understanding that we thought the position was eliminated.
But during the time when you asked the question, I've only always stated 4-H position. And so we never stated, when I was explaining to y'all when they had that reconstruction, that's why I came there last time, I said the office always consisted of three positions. We've always had, I'm family, community, health. We have a 4-H position and ag and natural resources. And I was telling y'all, we definitely need an ag and natural resources person. So it wasn't a reconstruction or take anything away from the three positions that we have. But when it came to the 4-H program assistant, that position, instead of it being AgriLife and county, like a 4-H agent position, we were asking that it become an assistant position where the county would come in. So when we asked the county to come in, it was a part-time position. And I was only asking for that position to come from part-time.
But part of that discussion was we were going to eliminate a full-time position because of that. Right. That's part of that discussion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely yes. Part of that discussion.
And that's where the confusion came in because, like I said, we thought that this position was eliminated, and that's why we were willing to take the part-time to the full-time because In all, it was still a savings to the county. And so
yes,
that's what we were looking at.
I was thinking when you were talking about an agent position, instead of being an agent position, you would save money as far as bringing it as a full-time 4-H agent. That's the only position that I had in my head.
We had discussions about make that a full-time because we weren't going to have.
We were still saving like $20,000.
Yes,
or something.
And so we had a pretty lengthy conversation over that point.
We did. Yeah.
But being from an agent to a part-time.
And I think part of the confusion was is there was traditionally three AgriLife positions in Orange County. And during fiscal year 2019, which just ended September the 30th, that one AgriLife position was not refunded by the commissioner in the last fiscal year. So it technically did go from three positions to two positions, of which then Fallon was able to hire a part-time individual on county funds to help alleviate that window, losing that one position, simply because we didn't know at the state level coming out of Austin what they were going to do. That's why that position was not filled since August of 2016. And so thus, the court at that time decided not to refund that for fiscal year 2019. And I think where the misconception was,
2 weeks into a new budget,
there was still going to be another position eliminated, when in fact it was the original 4-H position.
Whether we do this or not, that's neither. There was no misconception. We approved to move a part-time to a full-time based off of this position.
We wouldn't have.
Now, I'm not saying that doesn't mean we don't go ahead and do this or not, but I mean, I'm just making it clear that there was not a misconception.
Mm-hmm. No. And here we are 2 weeks into our new budget.
So what's the next question would be, and So what's the recourse if we are not the recourse, but what's the remedy if for some reason this doesn't pass today to even move this forward? Was this something that can hold off until next year's budget, and then at that point reinstate? Because that's where the problem is we didn't budget for it. And again, you know, I think the concern here is that, you know, with budgets as tight as they are, you know, we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. But we also, like I said, I think that we wouldn't have, it was a confusion on whoever's part, but sure. But sort of not, but that we wouldn't have moved. And we don't want to go to the person that we've already moved to the full-time position.
No.
And remove that from them.
No.
But
no.
We can certainly right. probably would not have done that without knowing that this was with this, because that's the reason why we did this one.
To answer that question, you know, I don't know if that position would be filled in 12 months simply because of the budget at the state level. I do know that if there's a different number that can be worked out, I know that we've got some room. I don't know how much, because that would be an answer or a question that I could ask Dr. Ripley. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not going to be, you know, an exorbitant amount, but the understanding from him to me would be that for fiscal year 2021, that maybe it would be refunded at the full level, and so we would be able to work just a little bit with what, depending on what his budget center looks like.
And maybe at that time, that would be on that budget, and we could look at it, readdress
right.
it at that time.
With that, it would still need to be funded in part this year through contingency funds for us to move forward on that.
Yeah,
that was what our request would be.
Well, we're 2 weeks into October. When would this person start?
If I can get him on the court agenda for your approval in 2 weeks, he would start right after the 1st of November. But, I mean, it's one of those deals, Commissioner. If you want to lengthen the window to an extent, maybe mid-November, and I say that because every week, every day that position's not filled, there's salary savings on that number that's proposed in the agenda, simply because the budget year began October 1.
That's exactly my thought.
Exactly.
and
said I knew that was coming up, and I wanted to, you know, propose that as well. Is that's an option as well, as we can extend that vacancy for 1, 2, 3 weeks.
And you said you were going to check in to see if there was more money.
I absolutely can.
Let's check in that.
Yeah, let's check.
In fact, you know, once I get back on the road to call station, I'll make a call.
About on their fund
Dr.
level.
Dr. Ripley.
Correct.
And to see what he was proposing. He wanted more than anything else to see what the court's feeling was about the position, the need for the position, and things of that nature.
Well, had this been a month ago, it would have been funded.
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
It just puts us on a tough spot because we're
are.
Told it wasn't going to be filled back, and so we moved another direction that we maybe wouldn't have done.
And I don't think any of us question the quality and the service that is provided.
No, I'm not questioning that at all. Mm-hmm. It's just that we've just made the budget, and here we are.
And had a storm.
And had a storm.
And that's the thing, is our contingency that we set aside. You know, when you set that contingency aside, you expect it to last at least a year. Because there's things that come up. But our contingency was hit right off the bat pretty solid.
Sure.
Within 3 weeks in, because of the melted of all the extra overtime and stuff we had to pay to cover storm
and
costs.
By that time,
we don't know about reimbursement.
If they
any
just
of that,
signed
if
public
any
assistance,
right now.
We'd be a little bit easier decision.
We might sleep a little better.
Yeah, if we knew we were getting the public assistance declaration, that would help us.
That was our conversation.
Can we table this and let him look into this?
I think if you get a chance to talk to Dr. Ripley again, and then move the numbers and find out where the real number is going
to
be.
If you really want me to, what I'll do is I'll find out what option he may have.
Okay.
I'll put that in print to judge for consideration, and what we could do, not only within this current fiscal year for approval, but if we need to do so, it would be what would happen for fiscal year 2021 as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I'll say I don't think there'd be an issue if we went whatever the normal funding process would be, that would have been this year, if we would have been correct, if we went back to that for 2021. It's just this year that our concern is, because, like I said, with everything being in, you know, next year it would be a budgetary item we would put back in the position of the normal position, and it would be funded normally with the share being the same. But this year we would certainly welcome any help in that if it's available first.
Do that.
Okay. So we're going to
table it.
Table, which table means we for sure next week. So are we no action for now?
Well, we've got to wait and see what he comes up with.
You're going to get information.
Okay, so we're going to table this one to be put back on the agenda for next week. And that will actually go for both line items, number six, and the next item coming up.
So you will need to get with our secretary before.
She's already got it.
Oh, she's already got it.
Well, okay. To that question, your next week's meeting is on the regular time in the morning or afternoon?
We're all
the same now. We're the same. Stop that.
Tuesday at 2.
All Tuesdays at 2.
Tuesdays at 2.
Perfect, because I'm in Hardin County meeting that court next week for any approval from them at 10 a.m.
Okay.
Perfect.
Looking forward to it.
Well, we need a motion to table.
Thank y'all. We appreciate y'all's support. We really do.
I'll make a motion we table items 6 and 7 on the agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion. Can we do both of those, Denise, at the same time as a table motion? Can we do both, or do you need to deal them separate? Motion by 3, second by 1. Ma'am?
I think it's fine.
Okay, we're going to do both of those as a table until next week. And so we'll put the correct numbers and stuff on the two items for next week. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And so that motion passes on both of those items, and we'll move on to item number 8. All right, discussion and possible action regarding approving a line item transfer. After talking to Mr. Slacom, we found out that actually it was budgeted at the correct amount, so that there's no action needed on this one. Number 9, a discussion and possible action regarding the certification of the September 2019 collection report and the annual report summary collections for year ending September 2019 for the tax office as required under PTC 31.10. Ms. Fisher, you're up.
Good evening. For the month of September, the total is $1,587,798.11. The county portion of that is $173,969.23 with a 97% collection.
Good. I move we approve.
Second. Motion by 3, second and by 2. Any further discussion?
Just that I went over the tax receipts the other day, and the Vida area seems to be the only one that's still above last year's numbers. Mm-hmm. They're getting closer and closer, so I think we're getting past that hump. But apparently the Super Walmart Vida's doing well.
Yeah, but it really is name.
All right, so I have a motion by 3, a second by 2. If there's no further discussion, a motion to approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. Motion passes. Item 10, discussion and possible action allowing the environmental health.
Whoa.
What?
That was the month.
Now, oh, okay. I got you. Yeah.
The year end is, we ended up with $145,145,827.12. The county's portion of that was $30,877,635.40. Again, with a collection rate percentage of 97%.
Sorry about that. I know you just love to talk so much. I was trying to help you get sit down.
Motion.
Okay. Now I have a motion by 3 and a second by 4. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes now. All right, item 10, discussion and possible action allowing the Environmental Health and Code Compliance Department to apply for the 2019-2020 Program Standards Grant Funds through the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for the following: A, $3,000 for small projects, audit of program; B, $3,000 for training projects, FDA training courses; and then C, $3,000 for food protection task force support projects. The task force projects, Mr. Hardwing is up.
Judge, Commissioners, this is the same grant that we've applied for the last several years through the FDA. It's an expanded project this year, a little bit more, they put more money in it. And basically what it says, it's a voluntary audit program for training courses and standardization.
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion by Three, second by Two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Move to item 11, discussion and possible action allowing Environmental Health and Code Compliance Department to apply for the fall 2019 Food and Drug Administration retail courses in the amount of $2,625. Mr. Hardaway, again.
Judge Commissioners, it's a separate grant, but still under that FDA program.
So moved.
But it's a grant.
Second. Motion by One, second by Four. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item none. Motion passes. Item 12, discussion and possible action allowing out-of-state travel for James Scales to attend the U.S. Food and Drug Administration Temporary Food Establishments course in Tampa, Florida on October 28th to the 31st, 2019. The course is grant-funded and will be no cost to the county.
That's a no-brainer.
Move approve.
The grant, and that'll cover the travel for that.
Second.
Okay, motion by Three, second by Four. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Safe travel, James.
Too bad it's October instead of summer, huh?
But it's summer in October in Tampa. At item 13, discussion and possible action regarding approving the purchasing agent to advertise for bids on janitorial supplies for Orange County. Ms. Cassidy?
Yes, this will just be a standard contract for janitorial supplies.
Okay. Connie, in this janitorial supplies, do we have, are the, like, to remove the wax in the old courthouse, all over it. Is that in that? Is that janitorial supply?
Do we have a buffer?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So what?
Do we have?
The wax stripper is part of housekeeping supplies, yes.
And so this would include that?
Yes, ma'am.
So we wouldn't have a problem getting that because it needs to be done.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
So moved.
A motion by One.
Second.
Second by Three. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, item 14, discussion and possible action regarding awarding IFB 19011 Oil and Grease. Action by the court shall include approval for the Orange County Judge or Judge Pro Tem to sign the same.
Yes, we received two bids, and it is our recommendation to award it the Logic Pro Line item.
You said awarded low bid per line item, is that what you said? Okay. I'll make it a motion.
Second.
And motion by Three, second by Two. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item 15, discussion and possible action regarding awarding IFB 19012 bulk fuel. Action by the court shall include approval for Orange County Judge or Judge Pro Tem to sign the same. Ms. Cassidy again.
So we did receive two bids back on this one, and it is our recommendation to award to
TriHawk. So moved.
Second.
All right, so we have a motion by One and a second by Two to award the bulk fuel bid to Tricon. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. All right. Item 16, open court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. And as always, I like to remind people that we cannot respond back to comments that are made from the general public during the comment period on items that are not on the agenda.
Good afternoon, Judge and Commissioners. I'm Michelle Tubbleville with Orange County Disaster Rebuild, and we have a couple of announcements. One is our second annual Taste of the Holidays. This is a fundraiser that we've done for the second year in a row. All proceeds that we get from this fundraiser will go towards victims and survivors from Harvey and now Milda. 100% of that will do that. ways that you can go and buy tickets. What we do is that we invite all restaurants, any Orange County restaurants, are free of charge to come and set up. So we encourage, if you know any restaurants, are friends with anybody, encourage them to call us and sign up. It's free of charge. They would just have to bring 400 samples. 400 tickets will be max tickets that we sell. So that's it. So that's what we're doing right now. We have sold approximately 50 tickets, which we put on social media of last week. So we've sold.
How much are the tickets?
Tickets are 25 a piece. Last year was really great. We had a Cajun band that came in and played, and so and then we thought people would come in and just take samples and leave. They stayed, and it was a really great event. For those that have come, you can probably contest to that. It was a really great time for the community and kind of kicked off the holiday season. This is the
when
time.
Is it?
It's November the 12th, and it's going to be held at Orange County Convention and Expo Center in the ballroom from 5 p.m. to 8. This is a way we know that restaurants were affected just as much as survivors, businesses, especially restaurants. And so this is a way it's free of charge for them, and we want to promote those restaurants. We want to promote Orange County restaurants, promote their business, and we felt like this was a way. And to be honest, it was a very great surprise from the feedback we got from the restaurants that were there last year. They didn't even know some of the restaurants that were there that were in Orange, so they were able to network. So it was really great event for all participants and for people that were able to come and enjoy their food. So,
and that was starts at what time was that again?
5 p.m. to 8.
Okay, maybe Chick-fil-A can come in and do a preview.
Oh, I'm trying to.
I'm trying to think if she was trying to tell us, Commissioner Trahan, that we might have stayed longer than we were supposed to. We were
trying
to get our food
could be.
Leave, and we did not. We hung out.
Time.
So it was a good time.
It was a great
fundraiser. So look forward to it again. That's why I want to make sure I had it in my calendar right.
But so the number to call, it's 409-745-9719. Now, James Scales is our fundraiser chair, so we always get great response when he walks in.
Yes, indeed.
That was a good choice. Yeah. Good choice.
No, he enjoys it, and I want to thank him. He's really worked really hard.
On several efforts, he really has.
Yeah, the whole group. That whole group has really done.
We appreciate all the work all of y'all do. We really do.
So any questions, feel free to ask me, but we look forward to you participating. And also, one other thing, I want to promote Day of Caring. It's a United Way event, which is going to be November the 1st. It's a Friday. And so we're looking at to build our Orange County Disaster Rebuild Team to help go towards that. So make sure you get with me if you're interested in joining the team. But if you have someone that wants to, today is the last day so she can get shirts ordered. But they're never too late to bring in a team without a shirt. It was going to be, I know y'all remember the first one that we did earlier in the year. It was a great event. Now that Amilda happened, she was planning a second one anyway, but she kind of included so we can maybe do some projects to help people get out or do some projects for Amilda. So that's why we're doing, we've been asked to partner up with them again, Orange County Disaster Rebuild. So make sure that if you have a team that want to come help, make sure you reach out to her, to Maureen McAllister, to sign up. But I'm also doing a team for Orange County Disaster Rebuild, so more than welcome to join our team. Just to give her plug in for her.
Thank you.
Thank you for all that.
Thank you.
No pressure on the other commissioners, but I've already filled out my form and gave it to Michelle.
And I have too.
I was there last year. I'm a repeat customer.
That's me too.
Repeat.
Me too.
Judge Commissioners, y'all have some paperwork on a building, old JP3 building, West Round Buck Road in Bridge City by Precinct 3 Born. It flooded back in Hurricane Ike. This building where we're paid through FEMA to relocate, which was the new building that was built at the airport, JP3. Just a reminder for the court that we need to tear down the building.
Yeah, because we were also paid funds for the teardown.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
In which we're kind of need to make sure because we're in compliance issue.
It's been sitting for a while. The electricity is disconnected from the building. Yeah. The walls were cut a 4 foot inside the building. It's pretty much gutted on, but it's just been sitting there for since 2008.
And
we do need to.
And one of the reasons why me and Kirk discussed this building was because with that location, I know that we're looking at, you know, we got those sand machines. Mm-hmm. Through a grant, and one of the things that we know we need to do is set those things up where they can be covered, and the sand can be kept dry, and so we could use this slab here as an area and put a cover on it. And I've had this discussion with Mr. Slakem through Road and Bridge also, so that we can move forward with this once this is taken down. We just need to approve to do it because we've been funded for it.
Yeah, this will be something that we'll have to put on the
future.
Yeah, on the future. But we just wanted to bring everybody up to it.
The picture was to let y'all know the building and square footage and the location.
And let me ask Denise a question on this. Can we, is that something that we would have to put on the court's agenda since it's already been paid to be done? Or do we need to? Okay, yeah. I mean, it was well before us. So, but if not necessary, then I would say that you.
11 years ago, so yeah, it's 10. Yeah.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Chair. Get your plug in.
Can't miss that
opportunity. I don't blame.
The court to start thinking of some type of long-term plan or what we're going to do with the Vider substation, sheriff's office. As you know, the Google Center's 10 yards on one side and the WIP Center's 10 yards on the other side, and they've since been repaired or at least considering being repaired, or the Google Center has. You know, we temporarily housed them at the firing range, which wasn't an issue. They've been, you know, kind of displaced since Harvey. And, you know, I don't know if the plan, you know, we did present a plan with Joel and FEMA on potentially a huge structure or plan to relocate the dispatchers and the divider investigators under one roof close to the EOC. Mm-hmm. You know, I got my doubts whether that's going to really go through FEMA or anything, you know, whether that's really going to become a reality or not. And just kind of wanted to get the court to thinking, you know, can we potentially put something back into the Vider substation to get them back over in the Vider area, and so they could better serve the citizens over in that area. It's not a huge issue, but it's starting to become a little bit of issue.
Kind of like Mom,
you know, having to travel all the way to 1442, and then we've over there since Harvey, we've had to rearrange a lot of the classes that we've had normally in the at the training facility because they're housed in there. And some of the other agencies are not quite as willing to let us use their facility anymore, and it's kind of put us in a little bit of a bind when we have huge classes that have to do with firearms right there at the training facility, and we can't utilize that because we have investigators in there. So
okay.
Just something I wanted the court to start thinking on, whether it's feasible to put a little bit of money back into it and move them back out there, or what the plan were.
Okay. Well, I'll have a discussion with Mr. Guidry about that, what possibilities we have there, and Mr. Joel about our FEMA reimbursement. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else from the audience? All right. Anyone from the court?
Thank you much. Chrissy, I do want to try to put on an agenda for future to have on the regular meeting every month to have a road and bridge update and a maintenance update so we can kind of discuss some of the issues, because mm-hmm. It seems like we get them and then we can't discuss them. So I just want to make sure that we have the ability to discuss some of those.
Mm-hmm. And so that, are you saying, so you want that on the regular, the once a month, second Tuesday
yep.
meeting is a regular
yep.
agenda item?
Regular agenda item. It's just much like this so that we have the opportunity to discuss some of those issues, because what's happened is we'll bring some up and then we kind of lose track of them. So I want to make sure that we keep tracking some of those projects. Where we are. And so it'll give us a chance to discuss some of those.
Mm-hmm. All right. Grace?
I don't have anything.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
I'm speechless.
I'm glad I made y'all speechless. Now stick with it.
Oh, princess.
Somebody else would do that.
I just want to say I'm thankful for the county for sending me the continuing education. It was a blissful 17 hours of wonderful education. There is a whole lot of things that you pick up there and a whole lot of contacts that I was able to make. And there's a lot of interesting information in those things. But I'm glad to be back here and not looking forward to the next one. Well, not at this point. Looking forward to the next one. Thank you all.
Tonight, 6:30, Turning Point Church, a drainage meeting over the west side of the county. Everybody's welcome. Speaking on your day of caring, November the 1st is Biter's Homecoming. If you, how many of y'all are aware of Biter's Homecoming? But travel down Main Street. If you happen to be delivering food, you might want to do it before noon. Because between 12 and 4, travel gets pretty difficult down Main Street. So
you can't believe it till you see it.
Yeah. You're right.
That's a good thing.
All right.
Just a Lions Club question. Is that having a carnival for
you? Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention.
I was going to bring that up.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Being a member of the Lions Club, we had a meeting this morning, kind of an impromptu. It is scheduled to start tomorrow. But it's wet out there, but it's tolerable. It doesn't bother the kids, and none bothers the parents more than the kids. Depending on how much rain we get tonight, it's a go. If anything changes,
for tomorrow night.
For tomorrow night, starts at 6:30.
Where are you at?
The ribbon cutting is 5:30. And if anything changes, I'll be sure to let the court know.
And it runs how?
It's this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then
the next
week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay.
Excellent.
Perfect. My 96-year-old mother can't wait to ride the ferris wheel.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Well, all right. We had, as far as everything else, thank everybody. I know, thank you, Kurt, because we've been having a lot of discussions about buildings. And, you know, Imelda definitely kind of threw us off of our game a little bit, but we're trying to get back on track with the stuff that we need to do to get these things taken care of and move forward. On the Precinct 2 building, we are doing in the process of getting the bid paperwork out so that we can start getting that process started. I appreciate you that you didn't say anything, but I know that you wanted to. It is, we're trying to move forward with that. You know, like I said, you know, the storm kind of changes everything a little bit, and it gets us off of what we plan to do, but now we're trying to get back into those plans as well as trying to handle our storm-related issues. I'd also like to thank our ag group. I went to the livestock show, the kids' livestock show this past weekend, and I'm not a livestock guy. I don't ever claim to be that kind of person. I'm more about stuff I can put gas in, but I had a great time, and y'all doing a great event, and I know it's growing. We're very fortunate to have Mr. Havens and that facility out there and the use of that facility, because it lets us do that stuff no matter what weather conditions are. But thank y'all for your effort for that. I know y'all put a lot of work into that, and I think it was a great event. And I surely enjoyed being able to go. So I'm looking forward to see how that thing continues to grow in the future. So anyway, everything else is good. Again, I always like to mention on our debris stuff that, you know, we are in a work in progress. We're definitely trying to get caught up on that. But again, we've got a lot of these neighborhoods right now. Tunnel vision, safety, safety, safety. Be careful when you're driving through those. We don't want anybody to get hurt. So other than that, I have nothing else. I'll take a motion.
So move.
Second.
I have a motion by one, a second by four. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. 5-0.